Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of John chapter 11. It's the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. As he was approaching Bethany, after having heard that Lazarus was sick, the text tells us that Martha had left the house to meet Jesus, and she tells him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Was this a mild rebuke? When you read it, you almost sense that. It sounds like it, but I doubt that a woman who was so close a friend with Jesus and knew him so well intended her statement to be one of blame. I don't think that's in there, although some people might view it that way. There's another way of viewing her statement, and I prefer it. What she said was a positive statement of faith, that he would have healed Lazarus if he had been there. Now, we can suppose that what she said to him was also spoken between Martha and her sister many times before Jesus arrived. I can hear them. "Oh, if Jesus had only been here, Lazarus would not have died." Well, in verse 22 of John chapter 11, we read, "And even now," she said, "I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you." Now, how did she know this? How could she be so confident? Well, for 3 years, Jesus had been doing mighty works, and oftentimes, they were there to see it. There were people who had been raised from the dead. There were scores of people healed. That included paralytics and the blind. Jesus had walked on water and done all kinds of things, and she must have known about those miracles. So she knew that whatever he asked, God would do it. Now, there's something else in the text here. Did Jesus ever pray a prayer and not have it answered? Never. You can count on that. Why? Because he knew how to pray. He always prayed according to the will of God. The problem is, we usually don't. We decide what we want for our comfort and our pleasure, and we think of God as a sugar daddy sitting in heaven waiting to make us happy down here. God, you see, has plans and purposes. He has a program all laid out from the beginning to the end, and he wants us to fit into it. And he has given us the privilege of prayer so that we can work in conjunction with his plans and his purposes. Therefore, I dare not pray selfishly. All of my prayers, if I am going to be praying in the name of Jesus, which means with his approval and in accord with his purposes, need to be according to the will of God, not my will. Well, some people say, "I don't know the will of God." Well, then don't be praying about those things. God's not interested in your new car or whether you ought to buy this boat or something else. God is interested in his children fitting into his program. And what's the problem? Jesus came here to die for all men, to bring life eternal, and he wants us to fit into that program. When you pray for an opportunity with a neighbor or a friend who does not have faith, then you are praying according to the will of God, because your prayer is fitting in with exactly why Jesus Christ came, and you are desiring to be an instrument to bring about the salvation of somebody else. When you pray about such things, you can be sure that you are praying according to the will of God, because he wants everyone to hear. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They can't very well believe until they have heard, and they can't hear until someone tells them. We ought to be talking to people about their faith. I'm very fond of saying this to people, "Tell me about your faith." Well, I'm going to listen, and from what that person tells me, I'm going to determine if he really does understand how to get eternal life. Jesus always prayed according to the will of God, and everything he said and everything he did was according to the will of God. And for that reason, he delayed a couple of days after he got the news about Lazarus' sickness before he proceeded to Bethany. He knew the will of God, and he knew that that included the death of Lazarus. And he also knew that when he got there, he would raise him from the dead. Now, Martha, did she have a hope that Jesus would raise Lazarus at this point? We can't be sure. Because in verse 24, she reveals her hopes to be in a final resurrection of all people. And notice how she says that in John chapter 11, verse 24. Oh, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yet she may have had an expectation of a miracle there without saying it, based on what Jesus had said upon hearing of Lazarus' illness. And that's recorded in verse 4. It says, Jesus at that time had said, "This illness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it." And what would you expect? I expect the messenger who delivered that news to Jesus about the sickness of Lazarus came back with the news that Lazarus was sick, and he heard Jesus say, "This is not unto death, it's for the glory of God." So he goes back to Bethany and he tells them, "Well, I got the message to Jesus, and he said it's for the glory of God." And Martha may have had that in her mind at this moment. So she may have expected a miracle. In her sorrow, Jesus turns to her with a promise, and it's in verse 23. "Your brother will rise again." Those are words that are appropriate for a funeral even today. We can tell a grieving Christian who has lost a Christian mate or a child or a mother or father, "Your loved one will rise again." That's just as certain as Jesus rose again. I have no doubt about it. And that's comforting, is it not? Grieving people are not easily comforted, and about all that will really comfort them are words that are eternal. Because we are announcing, when we say such a person will rise again, we are announcing that it's not all over. This is not the end. And that is good news, for Jesus is life. He did not come here to bring comfort at funerals. He came here to bring life, because it's real. His whole purpose in coming was to give life, and he gives it as we believe in him. He gave up his life for us. Now, in verse 24, when she said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day," she obviously believed in life after death. But up to that point, she was no different from the Pharisees. They believed in life after death, but they opposed Jesus in everything that he said and did. Now, she believed in life after death as the scripture taught, such as Psalm 17:15, where David wrote, "And I, in righteousness, will see your face when I awake. I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." That's comforting. David is telling us that he was going to see the Lord. And in Psalm 73, verse 24, he wrote, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you." There's hope in a new life, and in seeing God, and in being with him forever. Now Jesus also, and forcefully, taught that there would be a resurrection, of course. Actually, he said that there would be two of them, one to give life and the other for judgment. Now, here's a review of that teaching, which you had many months ago if you were listening to this program, from John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, And now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus preceded this teaching with a verily, verily, or truly, truly, which attested to the absolute trustworthiness of his statement. The dead, he said, will rise, all of the dead. Those who get life will precede those who get eternal death, or separation from God. That's eternal death. This passage before us speaks of two resurrections separated by at least 1,000 years. First of all, there is going to be a resurrection at the coming of Jesus. Not when he comes to the earth, but when he comes in the clouds. There'll be a trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel will be heard. Then dead Christians will be raised. It's going to happen. And those of us who are still here, if it happens today, will then be taken up with them and meet the Lord in the air. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Following that, Jesus taught that there would be a brief period of great trouble on this earth. You'll read about it in Matthew chapter 24. He says it would be terrible. And he said there would never be a time on this earth like that time of suffering. He called it the Great Tribulation. But at the end of that period, there'll be another resurrection for those who would not bow down to the Antichrist, who believed in the one God, and they will be raised so they can enter into the kingdom and rule with Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that? Because the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, gives us this insight into the resurrections. Chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 say this, "And I saw the souls of them who have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, who had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You see, some believers were beheaded. They would not obey the beast. They wouldn't bow to him. But they did not get through the tribulation period alive. But at the end of it, they are raised. And John tells us this, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, John tells us something more in verse 6. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. And it consists of the resurrection of the dead who are in the church and the resurrection of these who believe during the tribulation. The two of those are called the first resurrection. In closing, may I say that some people are afraid to die because they fear judgment. But we have good news for you. Jesus said it in John 5:24, you won't have to enter judgment if you believe in him. Read it. John 5:24. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kelevoter reminding you that the word gospel means good news.